say this in front of the intern, but I don't think it's working out. I'd like to get rid of Craig.
Well, if you want to start editing the podcast, you can.
I guess you can say.
I mean, if you want to, I mean, that's fine. We can do whatever you want if you want to do it.
I don't have right. like a special opening for this or anything.
Well, you better figure one out.
I guess on that note, welcome to After the Movies. I'm your host, Aaron Monk, with my co-host, James Lombardo, and we're here for a very special episode today. Our holiday special, our first holiday special, which I stumbled upon while trying to find movies for our guests' holiday special, but they had it sorted out. We're here with the host of No Hugging, No Learning, Ted Hallowell, Tim Murphy. Thank you guys for coming.
Woo!
Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Ted was here for our Halloween Kills episode, and now he's here for a very different episode. I feel like this requires a little bit of explanation. Do you guys want to run through your podcast real quick and tell us about what Christmas is for the podcast?
Yeah, Tim, you've got a much better way to set it up. Like the whole story going into the creation of the podcast, if you want to say that.
Our podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm a lifelong Seinfeld fan. I remember watching it during the first run and being addicted to the syndicated reruns always, you know, at like 5 or 6, you know, before the local news or after the local news, whatever, you know. And Ted and I used to work together at a radio station, and we would spend hours and hours every weekend together just talking. And we're like, this would be a good podcast because we have a good rapport. But like, do we want to be another 2 white dudes talking on a podcast thing? And we're like, no, not really. Let's come up with a gimmick at least.
I don't know anything about that. That's weird.
But you guys at least have the movies, you know? That's the thing.
It's at least something more than like 2 best friends just talking shit, you know?
Yeah, because I hate the bragging about, we don't really have a format. We just rat. It's like, yeah, well, that's why it's bad. You know, it's like, we know it's fun when you're in your basement doing it, but you know, we wanted a structure to it. And so I found out just randomly one of these weekends, like live broadcasts where we just spend, you know, like 3 hours together, sometimes more, if we had like, you know, 2 or 3 in a day sometimes. But I found out that Ted had never seen an episode of Seinfeld, like literally not one episode, which was so rare to me as an elder millennial. And so I was like, that's the show. You can watch Seinfeld for the first time, and I can watch it in chronological order for the first time, because I don't think I've ever done that. And I can sort of rediscover the show and watch it with a different lens. And you can watch it through a completely clear lens and not really knowing anything about the 90s at all. And I can try to explain just all of that to you. And you can, you know, experience it for the first time. So that was it.
Yeah, and then I weaseled my way into a couple of episodes. I called the podcast a few times.
We had a whole storyline going that you were our Reddit downvoter.
Ted
would always post on our episodes on Reddit, and I guess I don't think they get downvoted, but people would go like, "Why is this on the Seinfeld subreddit?" And we're like,
"Well, I mean, like." It's just people don't like when you promote your own content or promote content, yeah. Especially a community as gatekeepy as our Seinfeld. They're the fucking worst.
But Reddit is so...
Seinfeld having Reddit a toxic fandom is so bizarre and funny to me. Of all of the things, it's like, yeah. It's like Marvel, and then like right next to it, it's like Seinfeld.
We used to poke fun
Friends
at it. We're
is
like,
pretty toxic too. I don't know. I'm going to say it. I'm just going to say it. I think the Friends fandom is pretty toxic, too.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
But Ted, we used to joke about how to get upvotes, like, you know, my gay dad doesn't think his podcast is any good. You know, upvote him and tell, like, he's about to die. So, you know, can you upvote this? Let him know
you're giving us good ideas. You're giving us good ideas going forward. I'm like, we're going to start using these for ours.
But then it's so funny because when you put something up that is not your own work, they're like, credit the artist. Like, well, which do you want? Do you want Jesus the artist fuck. To promote their work? Or do you want...
Right.
The dumbest place on the internet. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can post a link to any one of our episodes and get maybe, like, 3 or 4 upvotes, but someone can post, I don't know, just the millionth meme that week of Soup Nazi saying, no soup for you, and it gets fucking 5,000.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta figure out a way to merge the two. You gotta get memes and promoting your content.
No hugging, no learning for you.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah.
With Tim's face and then the mustache on top of it, like Photoshop, that'd be very good. I can't remember how the first episode we did was the How Murray Saves Christmas, right? The first Christmas.
Yeah, I think it wasn't the contest, right? I think it was Murray.
The contest came after Murray, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we started doing movies at Christmas to where there was some actor that was also in Seinfeld, and like Murray, it was Jason Alexander.
Jason's in it, but the star is Frank Costanza, Jerry Stiller. Yeah.
Okay, I'm losing my mind. I woke up like 15 minutes before we started recording. We did Jingle All the Way.
We started very, very literal, like, okay, we want, like, bigger stars of Seinfeld, but we're gonna stick with, like, the big four, maybe Jerry Stiller, and, like, anyone else who's in a lot of episodes.
Maybe Newman.
We've gotten very, very liberal with the star of Seinfeld. Pretty much anybody who has, like, an IMDb credit on Seinfeld is fair game. It's free territory. It's free real estate. Mm-hmm.
Because I think it got really liberal with A Christmas Story 2, which was by far like the worst movie that we had ever watched on.
I don't know.
Are you talking about Santa with Muscles now? Are we?
I mean, so we on talk... the worst one that we watched on our show. Yes, I think you're right.
So I was looking for something. Little did I know, with the end of the Seinfeld premise coming up as you reach the final season, this was going to be the last Christmas special. So, of course, we had to do National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation because it's like the big one. Meanwhile, I was looking for the worst movies I could find. A lot of times I find movies and then I go do my digging to see if I can find a Seinfeld person in it. Because I really wanted to make you guys watch a Jingle All the Way 2 with Larry the Cable Guy, and there is no connection whatsoever.
None.
So look forward to that here on this show next year, if we make it another year.
Oh my god. You're done picking movies. You're done. I'm taking it away from you. I'm taking the whole thing. I'm going to edit it and I'm picking the movies. You're done. Just show up. Oh my god.
Okay, so I had found this. We have a channel on chorus.fm called Movies That Don't Exist. People just post like the posters of movies that like you can't believe are real or that happened. And this was one of them. I was like, oh my god. And I started digging through the credits, and Adam Wiley, who plays. Oh, please. Taylor, I don't know who that is, also plays the kid in season 3, episode 6, The Parking Garage.
Taylor is Taylor's the male orphan. And the kid is the kid in The Parking Garage that tells George he's ugly. And it gets to George.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I got here via Adam Wiley, and then I stayed here because the Hulkster, Hulk Hogan, a.k.a. Hollywood Hogan, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, Hulk Boulder, Hulk Machine, Mr. America, Sterling Golden, Terry Boulder, and the Super Destroyer is also in the film. And I
those are all names that I went by in high school, too, which is convenient.
You'll have to be, if I refer to Mr. America in the podcast, know that I'm talking about Hulk and not directly to you.
Well, that'll get confusing, but I'll try my best.
I just found something very curious regarding release date with this movie versus a very similar movie that I'm sure everyone else kind of got the same vibe with, but I will bring that up whenever whenever we get to it. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. We well, and I think
you want to tell everybody what we watched on.
We watched. Yeah. Thank you for staying with us. We watched a movie. This is my favorite part of the movie is that it's called Santa with Muscles. It's like a very first draft name. You really can't rewrite that to be like something clever, but it's not. It's literally Santa with Muscles. Everything about this movie.
Not.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, not until Snakes on a Plane would we get a more literal title right. for any major release film.
I think a lot of movies need to like take that and just run with it. You know, you're just as literal as possible.
Yeah, please.
It is like it is the name of a movie that would make fun of movies like this if it came out today. like I have a copy of Hobo with a Shotgun, and that's like a grindhouse movie that's like fake grindhouse and like kind of makes fun of the way the grindhouse movies were. And like everything about this movie, like I kept picturing if this was a cartoon. There was Saturday Morning All-Star Hits is on Netflix now, Kyle Mooney's show, and it's got all these fake 80s and 90s cartoons in it and stuff. All I could think about was like, if this movie came out today, it would actually be like kind of genius, because it would be like it's a fake 90s kids movie, so we need a pro wrestler in it. It's got Santa with Muscles is the title. And then for some reason in the third act, there are mad scientists trying to use child labor to mine a giant mine shaft beneath the town for crystals. Like
electrical crystals. Electric crystals.
Yeah, explosive electrical crystals. I was going to apologize for making you guys watch this, but then Jimmy told me on Twitter how much he enjoyed it. And I'm hoping you guys share his opinion, because I know he had a great time watching it.
Yeah, this is probably the best movie I've ever seen doing this podcast. I think, you know, I'm going to watch it every single year now, just right before Christmas. I loved it.
Wow.
Absolutely loved it.
It's very funny because I gave you guys the option of doing this or Eyes Wide Shut, which would have been like... It's night and day. It's like, this is like not a movie compared to that movie. But we watched Santa with Muscles. And I don't know about you guys. I knew I was in for a treat when the police officer shot a shotgun through a sign. And it made a hole that a shotgun does not make. It made like two big barrel holes through the sign. Like
Some cartoon. Some set deck just looked at the shotgun and was like, well, it's got two barrels, right? We need two big holes.
Yeah, this one bullet from each. What's so hard about that?
Probably arguably the best movie that Clint Howard's ever been in. So,
Clint Howard, also the star of Seinfeld. He's in the LA episodes when Kramer moves to LA, playing the serial killer. Yeah.
This is insane because I watched this. I told Jimmy this. I did post this in the chat, I think. I watched this. First half of it, I had heartburn one night and I couldn't sleep, so I watched the first half of this at like 5 a.m. and earlier in the evening it had been the Last Drive-In Christmas special, Joe Bob Ruins Christmas, and they showed Ice Cream Man with Clint Howard. I was blown away. He stars in that movie looking like a real lizard man, and when I saw him as the police officer in this, my mind was absolutely blown. It is insane to me, Ron Howard's career trajectory. That's the second time I've said trajectory in the past like 2 days. Career trajectory, and then Clint Howard just decided to do movies like Ice Cream Man and Santa with Muscles and like strictly B movies.
Probably the more successful route to take, I think, personally.
Yeah, right.
Your brother can't make a movie every single year.
Yeah, who wants to make $200 million on like a movie like Castaway or something when you could be in Santa with Muscles?
Yeah.
You could be this... Hinkley in Santa with Muscles.
This movie has Ed Begley Jr. in it too. When the credits are rolling, I'm like, well, that's a real actor. And Garrett Morris from SNL. Like another guy who is also a real person.
Except for, unfortunately, yeah, this movie made as much as like a Subway franchise does on a normal basis. I don't know if they were able to afford some of these actors.
Like on a Friday. But, yeah.
I know.
So, yeah, this was a big, and this might be time for Ted to bring up his, what he found, because this movie came out on November 8th, and it was in theaters for 2 weeks.
Oh.
Which means that it was nowhere to be seen by the time Christmas came around.
Okay, so this is what I found, and all the way, like, watching through this movie, I'm like, there's no way this wasn't a rival studio's reaction to hearing news there was a movie being made, a Christmas movie being made with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I had to think, I'm like, okay, this has definitely got to be a movie that they tried to release just right before Jingle All the Way was released to try and like scoop up that buzz, right? And Aaron, like you just said, Santa with Muscles released November 8th, 1996. Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger released, I just had it, where did it go? Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger released November 16th, 1996.
Wow.
Yep, so, and this was November scooped 8th.
By, yeah, they scooped them by 1 week.
So did it, wait, well, I guess 1 week, yeah, but that's crazy.
After it was destroyed by Jingle All the Way, they were like, just cut it. Cut it now. Yeah, dump it.
But the thing is, like, Jingle All the Way didn't do well. Like, it's not a good movie. And to be destroyed by Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, I think...
Listen, this... 6-year-old me would disagree with you on that. That's all I'm going to say right now, Ted.
I think a lot of the... There's a lot of parts of this movie that feel like watered down elements of Santa with Muscles a little bit. Like, you have all of the elves like playing poker in the back doing like the, you know, it's like the Santa Union, but just like not fun at all.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a fight in a mall. That's
right. Right. This would be called, if this was Jingle All the Way, like it would be Jingle All the Way. That would be like the Hulk Hogan version.
Holy fuck. God.
Nice, dude. Nice. Yeah. Nice.
It was really good.
There you go.
It is insane how like not charismatic Hulk Hogan is in this movie. It is the worst. It's bizarre.
So I think what happened was they heard that Jingle All the Way was coming out, and then they were like, we have to do something. So they immediately started filming when they found out the release date of it. They filmed it and edited it in probably like 2 weeks and got it out right on November 8th. Probably filmed it where Hulk was wrestling that day. And, you know, that's probably what happened there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not a production segment on the Wikipedia page, so we will never get our eyes behind the scenes of Santa with Muscles. I would love a documentary that's like twice as long as the movie about how this came together.
I read that the original screenwriter, they changed his script so much that he sued to take his name off of it. Because, you know, with WGA, like, those rules, like, they're... But like IMDb says that he had to sue to get his name taken off of it because they changed
Jesus
it so much.
They
destroyed the integrity of his script, Santa with Muscles.
I would love to read that first draft. Maybe it was good.
It's like the child labor wasn't supposed to be for the mines. Child labor was supposed to come in the second act. This is ridiculous.
Aaron, did this movie put you back to sleep when you got up in the middle of the night to watch it? Because I did. I don't normally fall asleep during movies, but I totally crashed during this movie. Like, and I got a lot of nice sleep the night before. Like, I fell asleep, and I had to rewind it at that point because I was like, well, what if I missed something really important? But I'm so glad I did, because I would have missed Hulk Hogan singing with that little girl in the church, and I'm so glad I didn't.
Oh my god!
You know what?
But maybe that's what put me to sleep. His dulcet tones.
This is the first time I ever, like, I got 30 minutes into this movie, and then I immediately was that SpongeBob meme where I was like, "All right, I'm gonna head out," and I paused it. It was like right after the opening, like, you know, that crazy opening scene where everybody's just overacting and they're like fighting Hulk Hogan, and they're like, and I'm like, what the hell is happening? And then I get a little bit more into it. I was like, I need a break. And I remember right on the 30 minute mark, I paused it, and then I didn't come back to it till like 8 hours later.
Do you remember
finish this thing?
remember the scene you were in? Did he make it to the orphanage yet? Because I did the exact same thing. But like,
no, he didn't make it to the orphanage yet. No, okay. I don't think so.
Because like, I made it until they sat down for dinner at the orphanage. And then I'm like, okay, surely I've got to be halfway through, almost done with this by now. And I'm like, I still have a fucking hour left of this.
Yeah, I actually paused it when he makes that comment about his pajamas. I think that's when I stopped watching. So yeah, I did make it to the orphanage when he was just like, oh, nice pajamas. He's like, at least I don't have a tail. And I was like, okay. It's like, I'll come back.
It is a 90-minute movie. It's about 90 minutes. That feels like a Tarantino-esque. It warps time. It's like when you're abducted by aliens and you have, like, missing time. You, like, put on this 90-minute movie, and when you finish it, you're, like, 5 hours from where you were when you started. it's just, like, a time suck of a film. I didn't totally hate it. I didn't think it was good. I thought it was bad. But there was a couple parts that made me laugh, probably unintentionally. And it did have a little bit of that air of, like, a movie like Jingle All the Way. Granted, I have terrible taste and I like bad movies, but the one part that I said in the chat made me laugh out loud. And this goes to show how different our podcasts are. We're just like all over the roadmap with ours. There's no plot. The plot is that Hulk Hogan bumps his head and then thinks he's Santa. He's like told that he's Santa because they're trying to get him to forget that he's like the 10th richest man on earth. And I don't know if he's an actor or if he's like a military guy or both or like what his deal is. He's kind of a jack of all
trades. He's a supplement dude. He's just a gym bro dude. That's all he is. You know, he's got his cornflakes, he's got his protein, he's got his salad dressing. I mean, he's just an entrepreneur.
Yeah, he's got his
Gary V of 1994 dude. So
he's Gary V with muscles.
Gary V with Dr. Oz with muscles
is running for Senate.
Yes, yeah. I just saw one of his commercials, actually. But, Aaron, I have to correct you on an important point. When that elf guy who follows us around, you know, who follows him around through the movie, for some reason, I don't know why he doesn't ditch him immediately, but whatever. That guy, he says, when he discovers, so Santa bumps his head, or Hulk Hogan bumps his head, and he finds his wallet. And so he steals his wallet, so he doesn't know who he is. And he's like, well, I got, what is his name? Blake Thomas or something like that.
Blake Thorne.
There you go. I knew it was BT. And he's like, the richest man in 10 states. I'm like, well, how are you measuring that? What do you mean the richest guy in 10 states? Do you mean like going east?
I could probably be the richest guy in 10 states too, depending on what states
you're very selective. Yeah.
The richest guy. Yeah. I was like, is it literally like distance from where he is right now to like Montana or something? Like, nope. There's a richer guy in Wyoming, the richest man in 10 states. I didn't understand that measurement technique.
The more we talk about this movie, the more I'm going to go to bat for it. I did how bad it was when like Hulk Hogan's voiceover when they're in the second car chase towards the end of the film, and he's using his own products to like disrupt the vehicles behind them. So he's like, a little bit of Blake Thorne's olive oil should do the trick. And the cars are like, like all over the road. And then he's like, how about some of my whey protein? And then Clint Howard has an insane line. They dump the whey protein out of the back of the car, and Clint Howard's following them in the cop car. God. And so there's like all this whey protein everywhere. And it's like, you know, he can't see. And Clint Howard goes, I was in Desert Storm. I'm a heartbreaker, a troublemaker. Weird, like the weirdest line ever.
Yeah, that was just complete non sequitur. I mean, I get the like sandstorm,
right? Like, that, but makes, still, that makes sense.
But we're so close to Desert Storm after this movie came out. Like, it's probably still going on, actually. You know, like, when was this movie? Was this like 96. 96, okay. Yeah, and I don't know when Desert Storm was going on, but yeah, that was... But it's the second reference, because in the very beginning of the movie, as Hulk Hogan is sneaking through his house to fight all of his helpers, he's wearing Desert Storm camo, which was like... Which I had, like, PTSD, not to mix, you know, my military metaphors, of like 90s fashion and how that was like everywhere. Everyone was wearing Desert Storm camo, like shorts and shirts, and yeah, you could not escape it. It was like the hottest fashion trend.
Maybe instead of like a Christmas movie, this is just a war propaganda movie. Maybe that's
probably what it was. Yeah. Don't you want to be like Clint Howard? Mm-hmm. Serve your country?
Yeah. Look at Mr. America wearing his camo. You know, you should join him.
It is weird. I never thought about how deserts, like Desert Storm affecting fashion.
There were Desert Storm trading cards. Does anyone remember those?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. No, but this is crazy. Like, to think about, like, to put it, like, because I guess, like, I don't know about, I mean, Jimmy's not, nobody here is that much older than anyone. This is not meant to be an age statement, but I'm the youngest person here.
Good for you, Aaron.
So for me, it's like imagining if there was like, if all of this was like, you know, they had Iraq war camo was like a big thing in like the late 2000s or in the mid 2000s. And like, if they had Iraq war trading cards, it'd be very bizarre.
I think there was though. I think during that war, like more people, I don't know, maybe I just grew up in a small town where everybody wore like different like army camo, but it just seemed like everybody was wearing camo then too. I don't know.
It was a very merchandised war.
Iraq or Desert Storm or both?
Both. Just everything dealing with Iraq had so much merchandise. At least like,
no, because wars aren't intended to make money, but that's crazy.
Yeah. It was like there's no reason that like a fourth or fifth grader should know who is running a huge military operation like Desert Storm, but everybody knew Norman Schwarzkopf and Colin Powell and like, you know, and like literally there were trading cards. I probably still have some somewhere in the basement or something. And
this
sure
is becoming
enough,
a military podcast after the last couple weeks.
Yeah, we did Full Metal Jacket and now we're doing Santa with Muscles. This is a nationalist podcast now.
I mean, if you guys come down to College Station, you can go to the George Bush Presidential Library and you can learn all about Desert Storm.
Yeah, I bet.
Wow.
Desert Storm, by the way, was 1991. So we're still like 4 years or 5 years away, I mean, from the operation. But, it you know, it's still really close. That to use it as a punchline is just kind of weird.
So I do, we never go through like plot synopsis, but I feel like just to give people a scope of the million plot threads that are happening at once. And I should mention too, before we go forward, the cast we didn't talk about, Mila Kunis plays one of the orphans, one of the young orphans.
I want to point this out really quick. Mila Kunis.
That is weird. There's also two Star Trek connections. I don't know if Jimmy noticed them or not. Don Stark was in Star Trek First Contact. And let's see here. Give me a minute. Hold on. I'm looking for the orphanage lady. What was her name? Like the lady that ran it.
Linda. Leslie. Linda.
Is it Linda?
I thought it was
says Leslie on the Wikipedia. She was in Star Trek, The Search for Spock, and The Voyage Home. So,
oh, I love The Voyage Home. Oh, my gosh.
Couple of Star Trek connections, couple of That 70s Show connections. So Hulk hits his head, and he's on the lam, I guess. And so this movie moves very fast for punishingly slow it is. He's like on the run because he was the cops think he's a terrorist. Every word
it has to do with a paintball game. He jumps in his car. Oh yeah, he's at a he goes to play paintball, but he like shoots the other guy, the other team captain, and then jumps in his car and takes off.
Like, it's very Grand Theft Auto. he drives away, and so he runs into a mall to hide. And then it's so funny. He has like a very prominent California accent in the movie too, which I've never listened to Hulk Hogan like talk or act at length, but he's like, when in doubt, jump out. And like jumps out of the car while he's driving. The other, his passenger is forced to take the wheel. So he goes and hides in a mall and puts on the Santa costume to get by people, but then he's hanging on to the edge of the garbage chute to hide from the police, and is hit in the head, and when he wakes up, he doesn't know who he is, and he's convinced by Lenny that he is Santa Claus, who also has this pen, this random, like, the bump on the noggin also turned him into, like, a man who hates crime. Like, he, like, there's somebody who's, like, like, the first time he interjects is, like, that girl yells help because there's two guys trying to steal the money from the Santa thing or the donation thing. And he, like, stands up and is just like, I'll be right back. And, like, like, just walks towards them robotically and now has to, like, fight these two delinquents. It's very bizarre. He hates crime now. And on the other side of town, there are mad scientists with a team of did you guys ever see the movie Mystery Men?
Yeah.
Because this was like Mystery Men rejects.
Yeah, it was the Mystery Men pool party rejects. Yeah.
Which Mystery Men in itself already have some pretty outlandish characters.
This is like a man who loves the smell of. Okay, no, I should go back. This is a geologist. There's a guy that's just a geologist.
Mm-hmm. Evil geologist.
Evil geologist, the common trope, character trope. And he like brushes a guy's face and goes, "You'll make a great fossil." There's a man who loves the farts. He just his whole thing is that he fucking loves farts. He loves the smell of them. He thinks they're funny. He can't stop laughing. He has, like, he smells methane gas all the time.
Is that why he was always laughing? Can I tell? I did not catch that.
I don't know. I assume he's, like, also just a crazy guy.
Yeah. But I feel like for a kid's movie, they could have at least said the word fart and gotten away with it. Like, kids not gonna know what methane is. A kid's not gonna know.
Right.
At least later on, it's labeled stink gas, you know?
Well, this is one for the adults. This isn't for the kids at home.
That's right. It's the thinking man's jingle all the way.
And then there's a woman that's just electrified. She just is electrified. That's her thing.
Tim, with your passion for puns, I'm surprised you didn't say it's the stinking man's jingle all the way.
Very good. I know. Missed very the opportunity. Good. I'm glad you didn't say it either.
and they're just trying to take over the town. It's unclear why they're mad scientists. They are.
I explained it all.
There's also a middleman who looks like Wes Anderson. He's just there. He runs the crew, but he's also like the sidekick. And so those are the two things that are happening. And they're trying to take over the town.
By the way, that whole gang is run by Ed Begley Jr., you didn't mention.
Yes. Yep.
It was a germaphobe or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that was bizarre too, because he had the glove on, right?
I don't know. The most bizarre thing was towards the end when he was like, "You're a lot different when we were kids," and he's like, "Blake Tchaikovsky?" It's you? Like, what?
Yeah, it was weird. They never explained how he knew the numbers to open the vault. Did they?
They kind of did because he was an orphan there, but he forgot he was an orphan there. Even though in the picture that they show, like halfway through the movie, Garrett Morris goes, "I'm really proud of you, son. You did something with your life," or something like that.
Okay.
Yep. And I was like, "Oh no, is there like a dementia element that's gonna be like with Garrett Morris or something?" But no, it's like that he recognized him from, and he shows a picture, and it's of him when he's like, I don't know, 5 or 6. It looks like, and I'm like, a 5 or 6 year old is gonna remember growing up in an orphanage. But he was friends with Ed Begley Jr. when they were little.
As we know, everyone who grows up in an orphanage is always told the secret combination to the vault underneath the orphanage. Everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone who grows up there.
You know, the catacombs that all the children play in.
Normal. Absolutely. Yeah, it's totally normal thing. Normal thing.
And to go even a step further back, we all know that every orphanage in America does have a secret tunnel filled with valuable explosive crystals.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
So
mostly a clubhouse, but yeah.
Right. Because how else does an orphanage make money? Duh.
Yeah. But the thing was that Blake de-ethnicked his name in order to become a successful businessman, much like Hulk Hogan.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Bro, like, his birth name wasn't Hulk Hogan? You're going to sit here on my podcast and tell me that man's name's not Hulk Hogan?
Wait till you hear about Dr. Oz.
His
name's not Doctor.
Wait till you hear about Hulk Hogan's trial for his sex tape. You know, Hulk Hogan has a 10-inch penis. Terry Bollea doesn't have a 10-inch penis, but Hulk Hogan does.
Oh, jeez.
I'm butchering the quote, but like he said something very much like that in court.
Oh, man, I forgot that I was going to open this up with a bit about watching his sex tape instead of watching Santa.
Instead of this. That would have been hilarious.
You missed the boat on the bit, Aaron.
Yeah, missed the boat. Where does everyone recognize Ed Begley Jr. from? Because I also don't know if this is a being younger thing, but I most notably recognize him from Pineapple Express.
I don't recognize him at all, so we can say that right off the bat.
He's the father that stabs James Franco in the shoulder with a fork.
Fun fact, never seen Pineapple Express, so.
Okay. I liked it a lot when I was younger, but I also liked Seth Rogen everything when I was younger, because I was like, funny fat guy.
Ted and I just watched Transylvania 65,000, and he's one of the main characters in that with Jeff Goldblum. But before that, I mean, I didn't really... He's just one of those actors that's always... I don't think he's in anything I really love and that I'd recognize him from, but I always... recognize him when he shows up, yeah.
You always forget about character actors, though. Like, I feel like you always forget, like, the ones true, like, character actors.
Well, he was in This is Spinal Tap, and he was also, how could I have forgotten, in the beloved 2016 reboot of Ghostbusters.
He ran with the Christopher Guest crowd, so he's in a lot of those movies like Best in Show and A Mighty Wind, probably. Yeah, so maybe
he
that's
was in a movie called
him.
Cockfighter. That's cool. It's a good one.
Also starring Hulk Hogan, not Terry.
In a dual role, wouldn't that be great? Like the that 90s like twins trend. That would have been great.
I don't know where else to go with in terms of plot. I was just going to point out the movie's bad, but I did laugh when at the end Hulk rounds up. He's got this like grown-up Richie Rich lifestyle where he's like in this mansion and all of his cook and his driver and all these people are like his friends, and they also like try to engage him in fights to keep him on his toes. So he recruits them to go to the orphanage and try to save the children. And there's a part where they electrify a doorknob, and they, in order to entice the guard to come to the door, they knock on the door and he looks through the door hole, and the chef has brought, are they deviled eggs, I think? A plate of deviled eggs. And so the guy opens the door, and obviously he's electrocuted, and so Hulk kicks his way in, and the guys follow in, and they set down the tray of deviled eggs, and then he's like, I'm gonna go get the kids, you guys take care of the adults upstairs. And the two people behind him, like his driver and the chef, both take a deviled egg and eat it with their hand under them to catch any crumbs as they, like, follow him, which I thought was very funny.
I didn't even notice that.
I don't remember this at all. I don't remember this part at all.
You're the only one who remembers the deviled egg part.
It made me laugh out loud. It felt like a Simpsons joke or something. That part made me laugh.
Three out of four people suffer from Santa with muscles amnesia. That's what three out of four people can't remember this film.
Aaron, you could have just made that up, and I'd believe you.
Yeah, I remember the part, but I somehow missed the background gig thing.
It's good. Was there any part of this movie that you guys enjoyed?
I want to point out, like, back on, like, plot terms, it's revealed that whenever Santa visits the orphanage for the first time, the orphanage isn't doing so well, and we never really learn, like, why the orphanage is going to close, or like, why they're not doing well, but we learned that they have like only three kids there. And until the line where they said like, oh yeah, we tried to find homes for as many kids as we could. There's a good like 10 minutes where they kind of make you believe, oh, they're not doing so well because they don't have so many kids. They need to get some more kids in this orphanage. Running an orphanage is like a business.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Like, for profit orphanages.
Exactly.
I've always been pro.
That's a great like premise for a horror movie, because how do you get more orphans? You gotta kill off the parents.
Oh yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Yeah.
That's also a good premise for superhero movies too. So
yeah, this did have a origin story to it, I guess. Mm-hmm. In a sense. I was thinking about this in terms of like a superhero movie. It was kind of interesting.
I only had two parts of this film I liked, though. Yeah. It's when the bazooka got fired at Clint Howard. That was pretty funny. And then at the end,
that guy is a Seinfeld actor.
He has like just covered in like dirt and everything, and then he's just wearing like two like dice over his like shoulders. Oh. That's the only parts of this film I enjoyed was the bazooka.
The person firing the bazooka was a Seinfeld actor.
Yeah, Cop with Bazooka is Brian J. Williams, who also did some stunts. He was also a stunt performer in the movie, and he played Glenn on Seinfeld, one of George Costanza's co-workers when George works at Play Now and they find out he's not actually
handicapped. Oh my God. And,
And he's the one, George goes, "Morning, Glenn," and he goes, "Go to hell." That's Cop with Bazooka in this movie. Yeah, I think we've run through all of the Seinfeld actors now.
I do like that they play Hot Potato with the bazooka after he fires
it. Pretty good.
It was all right.
So one thing I liked about this movie wasn't a specific part, but it was how they maintained the magic of Christmas and the secret of Santa Claus, and like how Santa Claus still exists in this universe. And that Hulk Hogan really thought he was him. He didn't think he was like a mall Santa or whatever. It's really not even explored very well, but at least like a kid can watch this and not ask any questions. You know what I mean?
That's true.
He's like, why am I not at the North Pole? How are kids going to get their presents tomorrow? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh, that's right. I'm watching a kid's movie. So I did appreciate that. I thought that was something they did really well.
And they have like the parts too where he doesn't have his beard on and they're like, oh, Santa, you forgot your beard or whatever. And he explains it away. And then like there's also the part where when he does sing with that little girl, I think she says something about like, you can take your beard off or something. And he's like, oh, like you're not going to mind. And she's like, oh, you're still Santa Claus. Like you just, you know, it is interesting because like through her eyes, it's like Santa isn't defined by what looks like Santa. She just knows him to be Santa. And the beard is just there. It's extra or whatever.
Yeah.
I did have this. This is like the thing. It's like it's not a good movie, but it. I would agree. There is this element of like how batshit insane it is as like this like 90s kids film. That even though it's not done well, I like that there's an insane premise with mad scientists that want to take over a town, and like that stuff is, as a kid, it would be like catnip for this movie, you know, like I would just be very invested in it.
And all the performances are turned up to 11, by the way, like there's just everyone's constantly mugging, like scenes go on an extra 2 or 3 seconds just so people can like mug a little bit more and like just drive home, like really like, just like jackhammer the performance.
I feel like the movie would be 10 or 15 minutes shorter if it weren't for Don Stark overacting.
Yes, constant mugging. Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
I do think everyone was turned up to 11, but Hulk Hogan was turned down to about a 3.
Yeah.
It was like the anti-Schwarzenegger. Like, if you do compare this to Jingle All the Way, it is insane how far away Hulk's mind is when he's making this movie.
Aaron, I don't know if you know how right you are, because, I mean, instead of, like, his normal, like, what you gonna do, brother, it's later, dude.
Right, it is, yeah.
And maybe they tried to match him. They were like, all right, well, you guys have to match Hulk's energy. You know, they're going through it, and they're like, you have to match it, and then Hulk just comes in, he's like, I'm going to play a California, bro. And they're like, no, don't. He's like, too late. What's up, dude? Like, oh, shit.
There was a bizarre moment that made me nervous towards the end of the movie where he's like taking out the Mystery Men team and only the Electric Woman is left. And she goes, "You wouldn't hit a woman, would you?" And I was like, "Oh no." And Don Stark goes, "He wouldn't, but I would." And then, like, but he doesn't hit her. From the top of the balcony, no. He throws a pail of water on her and she's just electrified. Yeah.
No better pun or anything. Just like I would, like I would hit a woman. Quote Don Stark. Like what?
Instead of hitting a woman,
I'm not going to now, but I will later.
Right. Oh god. Very bizarre.
But Ted, you bring up another point. There was another point where I'm like, that would be a perfect. There were so many great points for a pun. Adam Wiley, when he shoots the fire extinguisher at Stinkman, he goes, "See ya, wouldn't want to be ya." What? That's an inappropriate time to say that. It doesn't make any sense.
He could even just say, "Smell ya later." Like,
how hard is that? See?
It's a film with a lot of the hallmarks of cocaine use and being written in the span of like 4 days.
How about this? When Wes Anderson is locked in a freezer and then the police are like carting him out, Hulk Hogan goes, "Well, at least he'll have time to de-thaw. It's the 90s. Why don't you say he needs to chill out?"
Yeah. And
how
also,
hard is that?
And also, it's thaw. De-thaw would mean to freeze.
That's true. De-thaw. It's like irregardless and regardless. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm back on the train. This movie sucks shit.
This movie was really bad, bud. This movie was the worst movie I've watched all year, and we watched some absolute duds this year.
It's true.
What in Jimmy's opinion, top three worst movies you've seen this year? After this, not including this, I guess. I guess including this.
This one, the new Conjuring movie.
Okay.
Yeah, that was bad.
And what other movie did it? Oh, and shout out to our independent filmmaker friends, but Manifest Destiny Down was an absolute shit show of a movie too. But
we did this movie called Manifest Destiny Down, which is available on, where did we watch it? Was it on Tubi or something?
I don't know. I feel like I had to like get like it got delivered to me through like a horse. They had to come to my door and like drop off like a broken VHS tape.
We did a season of the show that was meant to promote independent filmmakers, and we tried really, really hard to like vet choices and pick filmmakers so that they wouldn't be like bad because we didn't want to like shit on anybody.
Now that's the one I picked.
This was like the worst movie excuse for a movie we've ever seen. And then we tried very hard. Like I called the movie, I said I didn't want to, you know, make fun of it, so I called it challenging. And we gave it very poor reviews and notes, and the lead actor from the movie either didn't listen to the episode or didn't care because he posted it on his Instagram story and his Twitter.
And like tweeted it out. So I mean, if you guys are here still, if you guys found our podcast through Manifest Destiny Down, we appreciate you. But
and if you like that movie, you will love Santa with Muscle because this is like so light years ahead of it. This is just unbelievable. Ted, was there anything about this movie that you enjoyed?
Oh God, I legitimately enjoyed like the first 15 minutes. And then it just like overstayed its welcome for me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is gonna be like campy and fun, mm-hmm. and then it just wasn't.
Yeah. I think we'll have better luck next year with Jingle All the Way too. Maybe Larry the Cable Guy is a little more self-aware than the Hulkster.
Two are welcome on the podcast anytime you'd like to talk about other movies that don't suck. So I mean, there's that.
We do. I feel like we owe you one. I feel like we owe you a good one. Ted was on for Halloween Kills recently, which I think most of us enjoyed. So we'll have to have Tim back on. I think next season we are going to be doing, I don't know, Jimmy, should I save this for the next episode?
This is the last
Is this, well, we have Eyes Wide Shut.
No, this is the last one. We got one more. We got one more Thursday.
Okay.
Show. So we'll have, this isn't the end of the year one.
Okay. Well, we'll announce next episode what we're doing for the next season. But yeah, does any, before we wrap this up, does anybody have final thoughts on Santa with Muscles?
I would say I watched this movie, Aaron, when you were on our podcast, you said, we were talking about doing this later, and you were like, I think you said it looks like the kind of movie that I would have rented as a kid. And like that put me in the mindset, because to watch this movie where I'm like, I'm sort of watching it through those eyes. And so I didn't necessarily hate it. I gave it so many passes because of that. Because I was like, you know what? I bet if I go back and I watch Rookie of the Year or Blank Check or any of the movies that I used to rent when I'd have a babysitter and I got to go and pick out movies at Blockbuster or whatever, like, it's not as good as Blank Check even.
Right.
But I probably would have enjoyed it when I was in fourth or fifth grade. And like, I saw Suburban Commando in the theater and I'm sure I loved it, you know?
Yeah.
And so watching it through that, like you said, it's not good, but I gave it so many passes just because of the fact that like, I recognize that I'm not in the target audience, but I do think kids deserve better. Like, I think there are better kids movies out there to watch, you know. It's definitely not Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, you know, or,
yeah. It has big, I agree, like, it has big, even the poster has, like, big VHS rental store vibes, and yeah. The version of this that's on YouTube is, like, a VHS rip, I don't think it's a TV rip, because I didn't notice any, like, usually you'll have, like, a stinger in the corner or something for something else that's going on. It was, like, a full rip of the movie, but it's got that, like, VHS grain to it, as Homer Simpson would say, TV's warm, glowing, glowing, warm glow. so there was something very surreal about watching this at like 5 a.m. with heartburn. It made the experience more miserable, but also more like a fever dream. at the very least, I would say I probably, as much as I don't remember specifics about, I just pulled an Obama. As much as I don't remember specifics about Santa with Muscles, I don't think I'll forget the movie. So.
I'll definitely like remember enough to steer away from watching it under my own power.
This is a Christmas to remember, parentheses, kind of.
I wouldn't have rented it again. The next time my parents went out and I had a babysitter, I would I wouldn't rent it again. But while watching it, I mean, I could taste the kid cuisine. It was like, oh,
yes, oh, kid is... cuisines,
dude. Hell yeah, man.
Hell yeah, dude.
Jimmy got out of his seat. He like woke up for the first time in 20 minutes. He's like, oh, we're talking about kid cuisine.
Well, those little brownies. You guys remember those brownies? Yeah, those
brownies.
Into the thing where you had to scrape out with like a shovel to get to.
Those brownies were the fucking best.
That's what we're talking about, dude. Anybody want to make a kid cuisine podcast now? Where we just talk about
hell yeah.
Good idea.
Jimmy, you got any final thoughts about Santa with Muscles?
I don't have any final thoughts on it. This movie was terrible, and Aaron, as always, your tastes are in question to me again. You know, we had a good run here on after the movies where I was like, you know what, maybe Aaron's redeeming himself, but, you know, you found yourself back in the, you know, the podcast doghouse here with me, but...
Yeah. Well, I think we'll redeem ourselves.
It was fun having some friends on the podcast, though. That made it so much better.
Yes, I think we'll redeem ourselves next week when we talk about Eyes Wide Shut, which you have never seen, and we've talked about this. Kubrick was your pick for this year, year season, and you have not seen Eyes Wide Shut. It is in my like top five, so I'm very excited to watch it again with you and get your perspective on it. And then we'll be talking about Chris LaMartina's What Happens Next Will Scare You. Why don't I just check? Because I said I was going to do this on the last episode. Let me see if it's.
By the way, can I throw in one thing that nobody's mentioned yet about this movie that I totally just remembered? Did you guys notice who was one of the producers?
I didn't even look at it. No.
Jordan Belfort.
I saw that.
Wow.
No way. He single-handedly funded this movie, I guarantee you.
You want to know how many drugs were involved?
I noticed that in the opening credits and totally forgot about it. Like, Grace watched the first Grace watched the first 30 minutes of it with me. My wife and I watched it until she gave up, rightfully so.
Smart decision.
And I paused it on Jordan Belfort, and I was like, do you know who that is? And I told her The Wolf of Wall Street, and she's like, Jesus Christ.
But while Aaron's searching for that, if you two would like to promote your show and where can they listen to you and promote your Twitters or anything like that, go ahead. Whatever you guys want to promote, feel free.
Do you want to take it?
Ed, do you want to? You can go to nohugging.com, right? Why do I always forget?
I'll handle this. Yeah. No Hugging, No Learning. It's a Seinfeld first watch podcast. You can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your shit at. Nohugging.com has links to them all, or you can just listen to them right there. We're on Patreon as well. It's patreon.com/nohugging, where you can join our It's a Hyundai tier for $5 a month. You get access to all of our bonus content that we clip out of our weekly shows, as well as a couple movie reviews a month that include someone from the Seinfeld universe, including our just released 2021 Christmas special, talking about National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, featuring stars of Seinfeld, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. There's like five of them in Christmas Vacation. Tim, do you remember like the names of the people?
The original, Forgotten and Erased, John... That's something right. Or the original
John Randolph. John Randolph.
John Randolph. Thank you. Yeah. The original Frankenstanza. I don't remember. Oh, one of the cops played the limo driver in the limo at the end of the movie. And I know there's at least one more.
Stunt woman, I think, right?
Oh, yeah. Stunt woman. Yeah. Sandy Gimple. Yeah. Yeah. Who's done a ton of stunt work. She did the stunts in The Fire. And if you look at her IMDb page is crazy. But yeah, she did the stunts in Christmas Vacation too. So yeah, not Christmas Vacation 2.
that's Cousin Eddie's year, Big probably. Island Adventure.
Cousin Eddie's Big Island Adventure. Christmas Vacation as well is what I meant. Yeah. Please follow us on Twitter. I'd love some more Twitter followers. At No Hugging is where we are on Twitter. Yes,
go give them a follow, everyone.
Thank you guys for having me on every Christmas. It's been a ton of fun. I'm super excited about the Curb season and super excited for what kind of possibilities that opens up for us movie-wise moving forward. And I will absolutely be seeing everyone back here a year from today to talk about Jingle All the Way 2. In terms of what happens next will scare you, I'll be honest. I don't think you can watch this movie anywhere. So, because nobody of consequence is going to listen to this, if you reach out to me, if you reach out to us on Twitter, or if you email me, I will forward you my digital copy.
I think Jimmy George listens sometimes.
I don't think he'll mind. I think because the movie's got to come to streaming eventually, or it's got to show up on VOD somewhere. But right now, I don't think it's anywhere. So, I do have a digital copy that I can share with people if they reach out to my email. Or Twitter.
You're setting yourself up for failure.
Email me at aaronvmook@gmail.com and we'll hook you up. We're going to talk about this movie anyway. You should. I love it.
Do you want to hand out your personal cell phone number as well?
Might as well just show your debit card up here too while you're at it for all our Patreon members. I can get a drink on Aaron.
As if you just show up at my home address, it is 10.
Watch the movie.
We can all
together.
Watch it together.
Yep. I do want to thank our Patreon members. Jimmy, would you mind doing the honors?
Yeah, thanks to Dylan Painter, Jay Irvin, and Tyler Buckley. If you guys would like to join them, you can go to patreon.com/lomomedia. We have a couple different tiers, $3, $5, and $10. All get you different access to our behind-the-scenes content and video version of this podcast available for all of you if you miss seeing our smiling faces over on our YouTube channel. We'll talk more about our YouTube channel in next week because this one's running a little bit long, but
in terms of support, if you can't afford the Patreon, if you like the show, tell a friend, share it on social media. That always helps people find it. And the biggest thing you can do is leave us a 5-star review on Apple Music. That helps people find the show. So if you're able to do any of those things, that is a free way to support us. But either way, we appreciate you listening. Thank you, Ted and Tim, so much for coming on the show and watching this movie.
Thank you.
Suffering through it together, like the holidays are all about.
I was prepared to talk about this for 3 hours, by the way. I know you're going into the close, but
I wasn't.
I could go long.
Yes, do check out our National Lampoon's Vacation episode of No Hugging, which was edited down from 3 hours. Had a great time on the show, and which all Ted. Thank you very much for your service. And I think that's it.
How come you never thank me for my service for editing this hunk of shit sometimes? Never thank
you,
me.
Thank you both for your service. Forever in your debt. I'm even running a blank on how I usually close these things. Because we usually have the bar bit. We usually have the bit where we open the bar and we abandoned it like a season ago. That's just the episode. That's it.
It's like 2 weeks ago we abandoned the bit.
It feels like an eternity. Happy holidays, freaks. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
See you, everybody.
Bye.